All right, let's dive into this.
Okay.
We're going to be looking at Donald Trump's second term as president.
Good.
And we're going to be taking all of our information from electoral-vote.com. And this is from their daily analysis that was published on November 26, 2024.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try to understand a little bit more about what his priorities are for this term, and also what experts are saying about how this is going to impact the United States and its relationships with other countries like Canada, Mexico, and China.
Yeah, no, that sounds really fascinating, especially this early on.
Yeah, so I guess one of the first things that we could start with is some of his cabinet picks.
Okay.
He's filled all the major positions.
Right.
But some of these choices are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think are some of the most noteworthy?
Oh, I mean, the Treasury Secretary, I think, seems like a very predictable pick.
Okay.
Scott Bessent, who is a hedge fund manager, he kind of fits the mold of previous elections
Yeah.
and his 333 plan. It's aiming for 3% annual growth,
Right.
a 3% deficit to GDP ratio,
Okay.
and a 3 million barrel increase in daily oil production.
So it's a pretty simple plan.
Yeah.
Very easy to follow. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it really appealed to Trump's preference for like simple attention-grabbing solutions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, like, very easy for people to understand.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But then when we look at some of his other picks, particularly those related to the health industry, I'm not sure what to think.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Surgeon General, for instance, Dr. Jeanette Nishiwat,
Yeah.
she's got a history of promoting alternative medical approaches that haven't exactly been embraced by the mainstream medical community.
Okay.
And then you've got the FDA director, Dr. Marty Makary, who's an oncologist,
Yeah.
and he's been very vocal in his support for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
Oh, wow.
who, as you know, is known for his very controversial views on vaccines.
Right, yeah.
So those are two pretty big ones.
Yeah. And speaking of vaccines, there's former Rep. Dave Weldon, who's a known vaccine skeptic,
Right.
and he's now heading the CDC.
Wow.
So the person who is responsible for disease prevention has publicly questioned the effectiveness of vaccines.
Yeah, what do you make of this appointment?
I mean, it seems like it's signaling that maybe making decisions based on evidence is going to take a backseat to this more populist approach.
Right.
And this is just my thought, but it seems like it could potentially be more ideology driven than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it really raises some serious concerns about how public health crises will be handled,
Yeah.
especially considering all of the global health challenges that we've had to deal with in recent years.
Exactly. Yeah.
So very, very concerning picks.
Yeah, it does seem like a major potential shift in how we're approaching this. So it looked like things are already getting interesting. Now,
Absolutely.
we also have this other really big thing that's kind of come up,
Okay.
and that is Trump's tariff obsession. He's announced a 25% tariff on all products that are coming from Mexico and Canada.
Yes. And in addition to that, he's added another 10% on top of the tariffs that already exist on Chinese goods.
Wow.
So we've got all that going on.
Yeah, and he's saying that this is to try to curb the flow of drugs, primarily fentanyl and undocumented immigrants.
Right.
I mean, when you look at it, Canada isn't really a significant source of either of those issues.
Right.
And even if, Mexico could magically stop the flow of fentanyl, it's not going to solve their own internal challenges with fentanyl.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It seems like a really strange way to address this problem.
Yeah, it's like using a really big tool for a problem that requires like a very fine-tuned solution.
Exactly.
You know?
A scalpel versus a sledgehammer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you think are going to be some of the biggest consequences of that?
Well, I mean, economically speaking, this is going to be pretty bad.
Okay.
A lot of experts are predicting that this is going to cause higher prices for consumers. Some estimates say that the average household could lose $1,700
Oh, wow.
in purchasing power per year.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, all of this is probably not going to revitalize manufacturing jobs either.
Right?
Automation has really fundamentally changed the way that that industry works.
Yeah, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though, because the polls are showing that a lot of Trump supporters actually want these tariffs, even though they know that it's going to cause higher prices.
Yeah. What do you think explains that?
I mean, it's a really complex situation,
Yeah.
but I think it might have something to do with economic anxiety and a deep distrust of what you might call traditional economic expertise. Like, there's this feeling that the tariffs, even though they might lead to personal sacrifice, are a way of striking back at countries that are perceived as taking advantage of the U.S.
Interesting.
Yeah, so electoral-vote.com, outlines seven different theories
okay.
behind Trump's potential motives.
Okay.
And some of them seem more plausible than others, but do any of them stand out to you?
Well, one that I think is interesting is the true believer theory.
Okay.
And that's suggesting that Trump truly believes that tariffs are the cure-all for any economic problems.
Even though there's all this evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, even though there's all this evidence to the contrary. Yeah, and then there's the idea of a strategic loss.
Okay.
Maybe he's setting up a legal battle that he can then exploit for his own political gain.
So it's like he's trying to play the victim.
Exactly, which he's done very successfully in the past.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's the grift theory.
Okay.
Maybe this is a way to enrich himself or those in his inner circle.
It does seem like there's a pattern here of potentially creating a lot of conflict and uncertainty.
Absolutely.
So let's shift gears for a minute and talk about the legal cases.
Okay.
That are currently going on against Trump.
Sounds good.
Because there have been some recent developments, haven't there?
Yeah. So special counsel Jack Smith has requested a dismissal of the election interference case because he's arguing that a sitting president can't be prosecuted.
Right.
And then in a completely separate thing, Judge Aileen Cannon has dismissed the classified documents case.
Okay.
However, the charges against Trump's co-defendants, they will proceed.
Right.
So those are going to keep moving forward.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is he's not totally off the hook.
Right. So these dismissals are without prejudice.
Okay.
So that means that they could be revived later.
Okay.
Because it's a very complex legal situation.
Oh, right.
But he could still face charges once he's out of office.
Okay.
But that all depends on a few legal questions, such as whether the statute of limitations pauses while he's president.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so it's kind of a waiting game at this point.
It is.
But the possibility of legal consequences is still there.
Oh, absolutely.
So while all of this is happening, there's also been some movement in Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Gaetz announced that he is not going to be seeking re-election.
He's stepping down.
He's stepping down, yeah.
So what's he going to do now?
Well, he started doing those personalized messages on Cameo.
Really?
Yeah, and he's charging like $500 a pop for them.
Wow, making bank.
Yeah, but it seems like he's probably going to try to go into Florida politics.
Okay.
So he's probably going to end up following a similar path to Ron DeSantis.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so from Congress to Cameo to maybe the governor's mansion.
That's right, yeah.
That's an interesting trajectory.
Yeah, it is.
So what about these special elections to fill these vacant seats?
Well, DeSantis has already set the dates.
Okay.
And the general election is going to be on April 1st.
April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Is there something going on there, or is that just a weird coincidence?
Well, knowing DeSantis's history.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to say for sure.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes you wonder if he's got some kind of plan.
It really does.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about Gaetz's seat?
Well, Trump has endorsed Florida's chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronis.
Okay.
So that makes him the front runner in that race.
So we've got a potential power vacuum in Congress.
Right.
A special election that's taking place on April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump still has this really strong influence over the Republican Party.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's a lot to process.
It really is. But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
mm-hmm.
we should probably take a look at what's going on with the Democrats.
Oh, yeah. What are they up to?
Well, there's been some internal dissent brewing.
Okay.
Rep. Henry Queller
yeah.
has voiced some pretty strong criticism.
Okay.
He's saying that the party's too focused on feel-good messaging and social issues, and that they're neglecting more practical concerns like border security and the cost of living.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's saying that they're not really in line with everyday Americans and their needs.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And, you know, Queller's a really interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's often been very controversial within the Democratic Party.
Right.
But he does represent a pretty big group within the party.
Okay.
And that's those more moderate working class voters.
Mm-hmm.
Who feel like they're being ignored because of all this focus on identity politics and progressive social agendas.
Right.
So even though his approach might be a little harsh,
yeah,
I think that he's tapping into a very real sentiment among voters who feel like they're being left behind.
Right. So it's important to listen to those concerns, even if you don't necessarily agree with the solution.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're seeing a lot of tension within the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
And it could be a sign of some deeper issues that are going on.
Right.
So this has been part one of our deep dive into Trump's second term.
It's been wild so far.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we have.
We've looked at his cabinet picks, his controversial tariff policies, the legal battles, and the shifting political landscape.
So much is happening.
Yeah, and what's clear is that we are in for a very interesting ride.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
Yeah, it feels like we're just getting started and there's a lot more to unpack. So stay tuned for part two, where we're going to examine all of these decisions in more detail.
Sounds good.
And talk about what they could mean for the U.S. and its place in the world.
I can't wait.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
So let's dive right back in.
Okay.
And talk a little bit more about the potential fallout from these tariffs that Trump has announced.
Okay. Sounds good.
We already talked a little bit about how this is going to affect consumers in the U.S.
Right.
But I think what might even be more significant is the geopolitical ramifications.
Yeah, it's hard to overstate the potential impact.
Right.
You know, he's slapping a 25% tariff on everything
yeah.
that comes from Canada and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these aren't just key trading partners,
right.
but they're also like really close allies.
Exactly.
You know, so what kind of message does that send?
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty big shift.
Yeah, it's a huge departure
okay.
from the norms of international diplomacy
mm-hmm.
and cooperation that have really been the bedrock of U.S. foreign policy for decades. You know, it's a shift towards like a way more isolationist America first approach
oh, yeah.
that really puts domestic concerns above everything else.
Okay.
And doesn't seem to care about global interdependence at all.
But Trump seems to think that these tariffs are a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, he says it's going to protect American jobs.
Yeah.
And punish those countries that he thinks are taking advantage of the U.S.
Right. That's the narrative that he's yeah. pushing. But it's just so simplistic.
Yep.
It ignores the fact that the global economy is incredibly interconnected.
Mm.
And these tariffs are probably going to cause a lot of retaliation from Canada and Mexico.
Right.
And then we'll end up in a trade war.
Yeah.
And that could really hurt everybody.
So it's like he's trying to win, but it could actually end up backfiring.
Exactly.
And hurting the very people that he says he wants to help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just the economic consequences.
Right.
You have to think about how this is affecting U.S. credibility.
Okay.
On the world stage. It makes it harder to make alliances.
Yeah.
Negotiate trade deals.
Mm-hmm.
Advance American interests abroad.
It kind of seems like it's shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But speaking of complicated relationships, we can't forget about China.
Right.
So he's adding another 10% on top of the tariffs that already exist on Chinese goods.
It's hard to see that as anything but a provocation.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, China's a real economic powerhouse. So they
yeah.
can retaliate in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
They could target American companies that are operating in China.
Yeah.
They could manipulate their currency.
Okay.
They could even strengthen their ties with other countries.
Right.
And kind of, you know, try to push the U.S. out.
So it's a pretty risky move.
Very risky.
His approach to China has been really all over the place.
Yeah. One minute it's confrontation and the next minute he's trying to be friends with Xi Jinping.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, how does that make things harder?
Well, it makes it really hard for businesses to plan for the long term.
Right.
And they can't make investments
yeah.
because they don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And it's not just businesses. Mm-hmm. It's also affecting diplomats.
Right.
You know, our allies can't really anticipate
yeah.
what the U.S. is going to do next.
Yeah. It makes it hard to form a united front.
It really does.
Yeah. Okay. So basically what we're looking at is potential trade wars,
mm-hmm.
damaged relationships with allies.
Yeah.
And just like a more volatile global landscape.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for the average American?
I mean, in the short term, they're going to see higher prices on pretty much everything.
Great.
Cars, electronics, food.
Yeah.
Everything.
Wow. So it's going to make it harder to make ends meet.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And what about long term?
Well, long term is a little bit harder to say for sure.
Okay.
But if we have a trade war that lasts for a really long time,
mm-hmm.
it could really slow down the economy.
Okay.
We could have job losses.
Right. And the U.S. might not have as much power in the world anymore.
So not a good situation.
Not really.
Okay. So we've talked about the global impact of these tariffs, but let's go back to the U.S.
Okay.
And look at those congressional departures and special elections.
Okay.
Like, do you think those are going to change things?
Well, they could shake things up a bit.
Okay.
Matt Gaetz leaving Congress leaves this big opening.
Right.
In a district that's normally pretty reliably Republican.
Right.
But, you know, the race to replace him might be more interesting than we think.
Okay, how so?
Well, I mean, Trump has endorsed Jimmy Patronis.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other people who want that seat.
Right.
And that could make things pretty unpredictable.
Okay. And then we also have that April Fool's Day election.
I know. It's so strange.
Do you think that means anything, or is it just like a crazy coincidence?
I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
DeSantis is a really savvy political operator.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him to have some kind of plan.
Right, right. Yeah. And then there's the special election to fill Mike Waltz's seat.
Right.
His district is also pretty solidly Republican.
It is.
But with Trump not really being in the picture so much anymore, we might see a more moderate candidate come forward.
Yeah, that's true. And that could change the balance of power in the party.
Yeah, these are just special elections.
Right.
But it seems like they could have a much bigger impact on the Republican Party.
Yeah, they could be a sign of what's to come
right.
in the post-Trump era.
It's like we're watching the party kind of figure out who they are now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the Republicans potentially going through an identity crisis. But what about the Democrats?
Yeah.
Do you think Rep. Henry Cuellar's criticisms are valid?
Well, you know, he's a controversial figure.
He is.
But he does represent a part of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
The more moderate working class voters. These are people who are not on board with what they see as, like, this focus on identity politics.
Yeah.
And all these, like, progressive social agendas.
Okay, so even though he's not always the most tactful.
Right.
It seems like he is expressing a concern that's shared by a lot of voters.
Absolutely.
They feel like their concerns are being ignored.
Yeah, I think it's really important to listen to those concerns.
Yeah.
Even if you don't agree with the solutions that he's offering.
It seems like the Democrats have a lot to think about.
They do.
You know, they need to figure out a way to bridge this gap.
Right.
Between their progressive wing.
Yeah.
And these more moderate voters.
Exactly.
If they want to win future elections.
If they want to build a winning coalition.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's like they're trying to walk this really fine line.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge for both parties, really.
Yeah, that's true.
This increasing polarization is making things really difficult.
Yeah, finding that message.
Right.
That appeals to everyone.
Exactly.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's the golden ticket to winning elections.
Yeah, it does seem like the Democrats have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, they could use a fresh perspective.
A little introspection never hurt anyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, these moments of crisis, they often create opportunities for change.
Right.
And for growth.
Okay.
So will the Democrats take this opportunity to really look at what they're doing and, you know, maybe come up with a message that speaks to more people?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So in this part of our deep dive,
we've
looked at the potential consequences of Trump's actions,
both
in the U.S. and around the world.
Right.
And I think one thing's for sure.
Yeah.
His second term is going to be just as unpredictable.
Oh.
And just as consequential as his first.
Absolutely.
We still have more to talk about, though.
Definitely.
So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We're going to try to figure out what his overall strategy is and what all of this might mean for the U.S. and its place in the world.
I can't wait.
All right. So we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the start of Trump's second term.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride so far.
We've really gone through a lot, haven't we?
I mean,
cabinet picks, these controversial tariff policies, the legal battles, the struggles within the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
But I guess the big question is, like, what does it all mean?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the plan here? What's the long game?
What are the long-term consequences?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, one thing that I'm seeing is that he seems to be kind of rejecting traditional approaches.
Yeah, he's definitely shaking things up.
It's like he's ripping up the rule book, you know, on trade policy, on foreign relations.
Yeah, even public health.
Yeah.
Like, he's not afraid to completely disrupt the status quo.
Right.
And overturn everything we thought we knew.
Yeah.
It's a risky strategy.
It is.
It could pay off big time.
Oh.
Or it could blow up in his face.
Right, right, yeah.
It's hard to say for sure at this point.
But I think the tariffs are a really good example of that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, decades of U.S. trade policy built on this idea of global cooperation.
Right. Free trade agreements.
Exactly.
Fucking together.
And he's like, nope, I'm done with that.
It's a real head scratcher for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Economists, foreign policy experts.
Right.
They're all saying this is going to backfire.
Yeah.
Hurt American consumers, start trade wars. It's not looking good.
So we could end up being more isolated, more economically vulnerable, and maybe less powerful on the world stage.
That's a very real possibility. Yeah. I mean, this idea of America first, it could end up actually making America weaker.
Yeah.
The world's a different place now, you know? Yeah, right. It's not like the old days where the U.S. could just call the shots.
Right, right, yeah.
China's a major player now.
Exactly.
They're not just going to sit back and let us dictate everything.
And it seems like Trump doesn't really get that, you know?
Yeah, it's like he's stuck in this old way of thinking.
Right, yeah.
Like it's a zero-sum game. Well, if someone else wins, we automatically lose.
Right, right.
But that's just not how the world works anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we're all connected.
We are.
You can't just ignore that.
Especially with things like climate change and pandemics.
Right. We have to work together.
Exactly. Cooperation is key.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the economic and political side of things. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, what about America's image?
That's a good question.
You know, how are other countries going to see us now?
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, the U.S. has been seen as this, you know, champion of democracy.
Right.
Human rights.
Yeah, a leader.
But that might be changing
right.
with this America First agenda.
Yeah, because some people are saying that his actions are kind of hurting our moral standing in the world.
Exactly. It's like we're losing something, something that's hard to define, but it's important.
Yeah, and it's not just about policies.
No.
It's about our values.
It's about our reputation.
Right.
It's about how other countries see us.
Yeah, so it's like we're losing our soft power.
Exactly.
You know, that ability to influence others, not through force.
Right.
But through our culture, our ideas.
Yeah, that's been a huge advantage for the U.S.
Right. It's allowed us to be a leader on the world stage.
But what happens if we lose that?
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
It is.
Because if America steps back, someone else is going to step in.
Right. Maybe China, maybe Russia.
Yeah. And they might not have the same values.
Exactly. They might not be so interested in democracy and human rights.
So it feels like we're at a crossroads, you know?
We are.
Like we have to choose what kind of country we want to be.
That's a really good way to put it.
Do we want to keep leading the world or do we want to retreat and focus only on ourselves?
And that's a decision that ultimately belongs to the American people.
Right.
It's up to us to decide what kind of future we want.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for people to be informed.
Yeah.
To be engaged, to participate in the process.
To vote.
Yeah. Because the future isn't set in stone.
No.
We can shape it through our choices and our actions.
That's a powerful message.
Yeah. And it's something that I hope everyone listening will take to heart.
I hope so, too.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
Global trade, diplomacy, America's place in the world.
Big issues.
And honestly, it's been a little overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to have these conversations
or
really think critically about what's happening around us.
And to understand the choices we're facing.
Exactly. So thank you for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure.
And remember, the future is in our hands.